This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This is Danny and Dusty.
Meringue-a-tang is going to be a thing.
You're not coining anything new.
With Danny Meringue and Dusty, the Fan Man Hera.
All fellows with monkey sounds in there called good.
The old like Danny Meringue pie.
Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and 1080.
Yeah, this is going to be awesome.
The Fan.
Good afternoon. Hey, welcome in. Happy Monday. A sunny Monday. Spring 3.2.
Yeah, 100%, baby.
Let's go.
Sun's out, legs out.
We just got the inflatable pool delivered by Amazon this morning.
Oh, say what?
The girls are off school today, so yeah, they're having a good old time out on the back deck.
Oh, look at that. What a great day. Sun is shining, and it comes right as the Blazer season ends.
Thigh season, baby.
Thanks, writers.
So, yeah, right? Mother Nature.
Hey, look, I'm on board with it. I get to enjoy it now.
Knowing that Blazer season over, sun can shine now. Mm-hmm. Boy, what a weekend it was. We had a wild weekend.
This was a heavy sports
really?
Weekend.
What happened? Did I miss it?
Yeah. Golly. The Masters was incredible. Mm-hmm. It lived up and a little bit more. Everybody got exactly what they wanted out of yesterday.
Except for Bryson DeChambeau.
I think we got what we wanted in that one. Even though I do like Bryson.
He didn't
more
get
now.
What he wanted. Mm.
We got a Rory meltdown and a Rory win.
Yeah.
Like that was like the best of both worlds.
Watching that
it was fantastic.
From Moda, everybody in the media room was just like, oh no, when he double bogeyed. It was just like.
Which time?
Yeah.
Yeah. It was an incredible final round of golf. Mm-hmm. And then you have Justin Rose, who did his part in birding, what is it, 6 of the last 8 holes, mm-hmm. and then nails a 20-footer that forced the playoff hole. And it was Rory goes into the, well, actually what forced the playoff was Rory going into the bunker. Mm-hmm. And then,
again,
whoopsies, missing a putt. Boom, we get a playoff. Rory comes out on top. Incredible drama throughout the entire day. Captivating. I was at, my daughter had a soccer game, and then my son had a flag football game. Mm. Masters app, the most reliable piece of technology in my life. I was able to watch all of it. I had like one AirPod in, so parents were like, oh, he's watching what's happening. I was really not focused on what was happening on the golf course. Yeah.
Just eyes glazed over.
Yeah. I mean, I caught a few things. I've made a critical mistake. Mm. I promised my son $6 for every pick six that he gets. Mm. Second defensive play of his flag football season, pick six, looks right at me. And I was like, damn.
Please tell me he did like a Johnny Manziel catch thing.
No, he didn't. No, he didn't.
A little grenade Sally?
Yeah, no. He does not watch enough jaw highlights to get the...
No finger guns?
He went scatter. He went with the machine gun. Yeah. No, he didn't.
We had a grenade Sally at the Hoop Summit.
Hey, it's...
Toon Day dropped it.
It's not a grenade celebration. It is taking the words out of my mouth, throwing them away, and blocking out all the noise. Which is the best cover John Morant could ever have for that celebration.
Yeah.
But I ended up watching the entirety of the Masters on my phone at first, then went home, and it was right when Rory was making the turn. Perfect. Was able to watch the back nine in my home without distraction. Drama.
I was not distraction free.
Oh, and then what made it for the perfect viewing experience is I looked at the lineup that the Lakers were rolling out and I was like, I'm not watching this.
Oh, look, no, I don't think anyone in press row watched the game in front of them. So for those that don't know, we have a stats monitor in front of us. We can change the channel on that. And we all changed it to channel 30 to have it on the Masters. And then pretty much all of us had our laptops on Clippers Warriors.
Yeah. Yeah. Which was a great game.
Yeah, no, I mean, speaking of you playoff in one, you have overtime in the other. The sports gods were aplenty on Sunday.
Oh, man.
Had an overtime game at the Hoop Summit Saturday night.
Yeah.
I mean,
not a 30-point win.
No, man. And I'm going to effort to try to find the audio from the post-game press conference from world team coach Marshall Cho, the former coach at Lake Oswego, and Dame Sarr and Tunde Issufu. It, for everyone that was in that room when they got done and what they talked about and what it means to these guys, because Tunde is from Benin, an African nation right next to Nigeria. He's the biggest thing from their country. And he's just this young kid who basically left everyone at home. I mean, he was crying uncontrollably coming into the press conference, like how much everything meant to him and just how much bigger than basketball this was.
Mm-hmm.
When this press conference got done, you looked around the room. There wasn't a dry eye in the place. It was incredible. One of the most insane things I've ever been a part of in just being around sports. It was humbling and amazing at the same time. And like what Marshall Cho does with these young men in such a short time and how much he imparts into them was staggering.
Pretty cool.
Oh, dude.
Pretty cool.
It's one of those things I'll remember for the rest of my life.
That's very cool, and it was a busy sports Saturday too, because you had the Hoop Summit, then you had the University of Tennessee telling Nico Iamaliava.
There you go.
Whoosh, Iamaliava to go pound sand, and that is something.
Yeah,
especially with
Cam Newton,
the local ties that story has taken a turn with. That story comes out on Saturday. You have the Hoop Summit, and Jazzy Davidson in the women's side goes
just balled everyone up,
goes
17,
crazy.
6-6.
Overtime in the men's game. You have Masters Saturday where Rory goes like 6 straight holes with nothing but threes, and everybody's like, oh, he's going to do it. Sunday, we wake up, Chauncey Billups gets
surprise
a contract extension, multi-year contract extension, which we're going to talk about at length. Then that was like the most Blazer-worthy note of the day because of the fact that the Lakers played nobody.
The game didn't matter, but
it didn't matter.
We ended up doing Chauncey and Joe's extensions before the game. Then we did exit interviews after the game.
Holy smokes! And then you have the Masters finish. It was a jam-packed weekend. The playoffs are set in the NBA ish.
Well,
got the play-ins still to go, but we know what the field is.
With one of those teams now being the Golden State Warriors because they lost in overtime to the unseeming, unstoppable basketball robot that is Kawhi Leonard, who played over 43 minutes for the first time since 2023.
Oh, really?
In that game.
Get out of town.
Heaven forbid he's actually healthy, because that team gets scary.
Yeah.
If he is.
All right. And now today we wake up, Mike Budenholzer gets fired.
The most expected thing, as well as David Griffin in New Orleans.
We got some of the celebration for Rory McIlroy we got to get to today.
Grand Slam.
Yep. And then we already have a who's in the Nico Iamaliava sweepstakes.
Mm.
Some names.
Mm.
And then one thing that we'll have for you today is this has been a bone of contention with you and one Ryan Day.
Mm.
We have an answer.
Yeah, I don't buy it.
Of course you don't.
I don't buy it.
All right. Well, we have an answer on something Ryan Day today, and it's definitive. I would say that if somebody knows,
definitive lies,
this person knows. This person knows. Mm-hmm. But we got a jam packed day, and look, it's got to start with. I really wanted it to start with Rory McIlroy, but the Blazers Chauncey Billups dust.
Yep.
Yesterday, that's a massive story. Because now it gives us framing for what we're looking at mm-hmm. with the Portland Trailblazers moving forward. And I don't think it's what anybody expected at the beginning of this season.
God, no.
And there's a lot of people that are upset about it. There's a lot of people, though, that are looking at it through the prism of, well, Chauncey Billups got these guys to play really damn hard, too. Mm-hmm. And we have seen growth and we have seen development. I didn't expect it to happen yesterday.
No.
But Chauncey Billups will return on a multi-year contract extension. We know Joe Cronin is already going to be back mm-hmm. on a multi-year contract extension. Does the back half of this season do enough to give you confidence in Chauncey Billups? 503-864-6326. That is the fan text line. That is where we start this show off, because Chauncey Billups, Joe Cronin, they're going to be running the show in Rip City for the foreseeable future. This is Danny and Dusty on 1080 The Fan.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
All right, the Portland Trail Blazers announced on the day of their final game of the season that Chauncey Billups will be returning, agreeing to a multi-year contract extension. We don't know how many years for either Billups or for Joe Cronin on their extensions, but for the foreseeable future, those will be the two guys in control. Cronin, we found out a couple of weeks ago on Sunday, we found out Chauncey Billups in a multi-year contract extension. This was something that at the beginning of the year, it did seem like it would be a stretch to say that Chauncey Billups would be back. But as the season went on, and you had said this on the air several times, there is an openness and a willingness for Chauncey Billups to return.
Yeah, no, and that was the thing of this, where things changed, I guess, is the easiest way to put this, is in December, this was not on the table. It was not on the table. And I've talked to Blunt, I've talked to Chauncey multiple times throughout the year, and in off-the-record conversations about kind of where things stood and where he thought things were at. And I would say probably 6 weeks, 2 months ago, somewhere right in that range, that changed. And that's why I was like, look, it's opened a door. And even last week, I said I didn't think it was likely to happen still, but it started to circulate. You have to kind of read between the lines on stuff of like what people want out there versus what is actually going on out there. And there was, with everybody in town for Hoop Summit, there was a lot of talk about will he or won't he kind of a deal. And you had heard that the Blazers and Billups' representative, Andy Miller, were talking, but we didn't know how close things were truly going to get and how much of it was a narrative being pushed as opposed to, no, they're actually going to do it. And it wasn't a surprise, but I thought they would wait a couple of days to kind of see where things went, because we'll talk about the Budenholzer firing in Phoenix. There were two teams in Denver and Phoenix that had interest in Chauncey Billups.
And those are both open.
Mm-hmm.
Both of them. And then Memphis as well is an open job. And that kind of grindhouse feel, but it would be in line with the way that Chauncey Billups coaches. But the Blazers do extend Billups, and Joe Cronin was asked about the timing of it yesterday after the game in the season-ending press conference.
You know, the last couple of years, it's been complicated. From, you know, a team that we hoped could be competitive a few years ago to a team that had a really rough season the year prior to you know, very subpar start to this season. So those are tough, you know, navigating that as a group. And that's something I'm really proud of, is how we stayed together. Nobody panicked. We believed in what we were building. We believed in, you know, the group of people we have, including, of course, you know, the players that we have. And when we started taking those steps, it was, you know, I don't think it was anything that surprised us. We just didn't know exactly when that was going to happen. When those guys, you know, started playing the level of defense that we expected, when they you know, started to be more and more connected when, you know, we started winning ball games and being really competitive on a nightly basis. That changed everything for us. And we're really proud of, you know, what's happened this second half of the season.
Is that concerning to you that you hear, we know, and I know there's a lot of people that are upset with the Chauncey Billups extension because
they think they're going a lot more than it does.
Well, they're going to down the road of, well, we have a large enough sample size. We're going to take this last stretch of the season and say that's definitively, because you're hearing Joe Cronin. Mm-hmm. Joe Cronin doesn't help this by saying, look, we looked at what happened at the end of the year. Well, we'll be winning 10 of 12 games in that stretch pre-All-Star break, coming back from the All-Star break and performing above expectations and not shutting guys down, albeit against competition that was not very good in the back half of the year. But they started winning games, peeling off games. They were gunning for the playing game for the longest time, which you and I both were like, that ain't it, boss. But is this sample size enough to kind of push people over the hump? Or what? To me, it doesn't.
Look, this is where I stand. If you're using Chauncey Billups' record against him, you're being willfully stupid. Full stop. Mm-hmm. You're being willfully stupid. There is intentional tanking in there that amounts to probably 100 games.
And this is where I go to, you can't use his full body of work either.
No.
This,
you can't.
The back half of this season, I do not believe is enough to sit there and be like, yep, guy of the future. But Chauncey Billups was hired and then handed a turd sandwich of a roster.
That's
rough to say, but think of where they were. He gets hired. Damian Lillard requests a trade, not because of Chauncey Billups.
No, because of everything that happened before.
And then goes, you have a complete rebuild as opposed to taking over a team that is a perennial playoff team. Mm-hmm. And then they rip it down to the studs, are intentionally losing games his first three seasons at the end of the year and really going bare bones on everything. It was not a good roster, not a roster that was built to compete or win any games. And then we saw this year, I think if you use the full body work, and I just won't go the last 41 games, which Joe Cronin is in saying that because they played a lot better. Mm-hmm. It's not helping the narrative around Chauncey Billups, because this year in its entirety was wholly development and getting guys to buy in. Mm-hmm. And he has done that.
And that's the thing. It's more important than the wins or losses for them right now. I'm efforting. I want to grab some audio from the exit interview here that we can kind of revisit a little bit later, but I'll paraphrase some of what came out of some of the other players. The players all wanted Chauncey Billups back. Even though it's tough to play defense like that, they enjoy it. They enjoy going out there and being a complete pain for opponents. And some of the other guys have had, like, Ant's been open about it. Jeremy's been open about it. Like, as it's been difficult in the sense of the offense changing and where guys have certain roles. Matisse Thybulle, even outside of his injury, he was kind of unsure of where he was going to fit into things, despite being a defensive specialist. Denny talked about when he got here, unsure of his role and opportunity and what he was going to do. But the one thing that they all say is we're happy to have him back because he empowers us. He trusts us. He builds us up. He takes us down when we need it. And then he helps us get through the next thing. And there was a line from Matisse that I thought was really funny where he goes, I don't know, man. I don't know exactly how old Chauncey is, but how many coaches in the league can get on a practice court with us, stop, show us exactly how we need to do it, and everyone in the room knows, yeah, that's probably how you should do it because he won a title and was an NBA Finals MVP. Probably a good guy. Look, you don't have to be a Hall of Famer to be a great coach. In fact, most of the time, significantly, in the league, it's not Hall of Fame players that are great coaches, but there is a level of additional buy-in when you've done it before. There is a little bit more juice behind it, as if you will. These guys, for whatever you want to call it, they ride for him. And I've been saying this for 3 years. Look, I will say it again. I've said it God knows how many times. I don't think Chauncey Billups is the best X's and O's coach. And he admitted as much in his exit interview. Where I want to get better is on the offensive side of the ball, being more creative, being more about player movement, about body movement, and how I can visit those things and get better at those things. He's not dumb. He knows what he's looking at and where his shortcomings are. And where Chauncey is as a coach now versus where he was 3 years ago is vastly different. And we've got people on the text line. There's two championship level coaches, I'm telling you, that are available. Why don't the Blazers go get that? Because they're not a championship level team. Stop it. There is never, ever, 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 ever been a great coach that took a bad team to the playoffs. It's not happened. Great teams make great coaches. Stop with the whole, the coach fixes everything. I'm so sick and tired of it. Stop being willfully ignorant about that. That is not how this works. You don't go, Eric Spoelstra, you come here, it's a title team. No. No, that's not how this works. Michael Malone, Michael Malone just got fired because he's so over the top and so grating that he gets fired.
Look, in fandom will, like, in look, we've all been guilty of this, being like, oh, hey, maybe Boonholzer, maybe Michael Malone, maybe Taylor Jenkins, right?
Yeah.
The reality is, those three jobs are also open, Denver, Memphis, Phoenix. Okay, there will be other jobs that do open up over the course of this offseason. Mm-hmm. The Blazers' job is right now the fourth most attractive, maybe third with but Phoenix still has stars.
No,
but
one
a star, but it's one of the least attractive jobs because of the lack of a star player, right? And there is a lot more that is kind of percolating around this. Chauncey Billups, I think, did a very good job of developing players this year.
Yes.
This year, I don't think that you can look at it and you could say anything otherwise, because he did.
Mm-hmm.
He actually did, and the guys started buying in at the end of the year. But there is also a larger issue with this Blazers team. When you look at it, and look, some red flags started going up when they were talking about what's this offseason mm-hmm. and what is on this roster right now. Because you said it, great talent makes great coaches.
Yep.
That is true. It sure didn't sound like from Joe Cronin or Chauncey Billups after the game yesterday that they are in a position where they're going out and wanting to make, whether you want to call it making a big swing
mm-hmm.
or going and making a significant roster change that will result in anything other than what 36 and 46, like we saw this year, because the comments were, this is a slippery slope. We'll get to those after Rust with SportsCenter. Blazers are bringing back Chauncey Billups and Joe Cronin. And we do have a ton of feedback on the fan text line. We will get to some of that. But I think more notably, we are staying on the clock today.
Mm.
And so we will have time to do that as long as we continue to do this.
Yeah. The first day post Jeff Austin. Nice work, guys.
There you go. in memoriam.
Mm-hmm.
Poured one out.
R.I.P.
R.I.P.
Still alive.
Yeah.
Not dead, but there. All right. There were some red flags, though.
Mm-hmm.
About bringing back Cronin and Chauncey Billups. You cannot win in the NBA without a star, right? And we got a lot of feedback coming in. One on the YouTube chat's like, you know, Doc Rivers, he did it without stars. Not really. Orlando, he had prime Tracy McGrady, Blake Griffin, Chris Paul in LA. I don't know. Those Boston Celtics teams are pretty good.
Yeah.
Right? But that's neither here nor there, okay? The Blazers need a star. And there were a couple of comments that I went, uh-oh, okay, this is a little shaky and makes you feel uneasy if you're a Blazer fan. Here's Joe Cronin on where they find their superstar.
Our challenge is keep finding players, keep developing players. You know, from the development standpoint, we've seen a handful of guys take really nice big jumps this year, and I don't expect those to not continue. And, you know, there's a lot of talent on this roster, and I wouldn't put ceilings on a lot of these guys. Like, there's still, you know, a lot of time and a lot of talent that can be maximized here. Like, these guys, I wouldn't write them off to becoming those star-level guys. But with that, we've got to keep getting better externally as well.
Okay. Guys that are here developing into star-level players. Mm-hmm. I think we have seen tremendous growth from Tumani Kamara, Denny Avdija. You've even seen it from Shaedon Sharpe, mm-hmm. too, right? But those aren't the workhorse stars in the NBA.
No.
Now, Houston and what they are doing, it really is, it's an outlier of
a bunch of really good young players, but yeah. Is there a true star there?
And they really are an outlier.
Yeah.
With a coach who has done it before in Boston, right? In Ime Udoka.
Seems like a very similar path.
It does, but you're going to bank on the outlier, mm-hmm. right?
Before we dive into this, I do want to say this. With everybody in town for Hoop Summit, it's gossipy high school. And there has been a lot of talk about the transition of the NBA in general. And I'm not saying the Blazers and the Rockets are making the right move here. They could be zigging when everybody else is zagging and it blows up in their face. But there is a belief in the NBA of the big three eras and even big two eras kind of coming to a close because of what the CBA is and how long it runs, to where it might become one dyed-in-the-wool star, which you need to have. Mm-hmm. That I'm not arguing against. But it might almost be better and better served to have a ton of higher-level depth.
No doubt about it. Well, having a ton of higher-level depth, you still need a star, right?
Yes, you still need... Here's the thing. Depending on who you talk to... There was varying levels of degrees of like what star meant. Like, could you get by with two, you know, third team All NBA guys, as opposed to one first team and one fringe All Star kind of guy, or something along those lines? And a lot of people like kept pointing to Houston as this test case of like, let's see what they do in the playoffs. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? And again, this is not to excuse the Blazers. I think it's an interesting thing of which way the CBAs define eras mm-hmm. because of the team building things that the blocks that come to place and how you have to navigate them. I'm wondering if we do see kind of a divergent path out of that.
It will be interesting, but also I think when you look at Houston and how they were built. They may not have a star, but the last 3 years they have had the number two pick, the number three pick, the number four pick, and the number three pick
mm-hmm.
in the last 4 years.
It's some really good lottery luck. Really good lottery luck.
Again, the number three pick, the number four pick, mm-hmm. the number three pick, the number two pick.
Mm-hmm. Really good lottery luck.
The Blazers have a three.
They had a three. Or excuse me, a seven, a three, and a seven.
Yeah.
And then we'll find out in now less than a month.
Okay. So let's also remember mm-hmm. what Houston went through in order to get those guys, too.
They also had more to deal away when they did it.
Okay. All right. Chauncey Billups kind of echoed what Joe Cronin said, and this is where I'm like, oh, boy.
I look around the league, right, and you say having a star, and it's true. You know, you gotta have top-flight guys. But to me, I think we're raising that, all right? I think we're growing that. Like, I look at, like, when OKC traded for Shea, he wasn't a star. He wasn't a star yet. Now he's probably going to be the MVP of the league. Joker wasn't a star when he got to Denver. You know, they raised him into that. Giannis wasn't a star when he got to Milwaukee. They raised him into that. And I just think there's beauty in that because, again, when you raise them into that, they're raised playing the right way. And all of those guys, they just play right. They don't like, give me the ball, watch out, I got it. They just play right with the team because they was raised into that stardom. And that's where I think we're trying to go here. You know, you look at hopefully some of the leaps. You look at what Denny's done and Shaden and Scoot's taking a leap. I thought Ant had a really good year. I mean, we're raising the guys. I mean, talk about that stretch we was on. I mean, DA was 22-15 on that stretch that we just got a lot of situations that we're raising that I think are pretty cool. So most people would say, yeah, go get such and such, or yeah, go. Well, we might have that person. You know, we might already have those guys, but we'll see.
Okay, I get what he's saying with Shai and Giannis, right? But in Shai Gilgeous-Alexander's third year in the NBA, he was averaging 24-5-6. Mm-hmm. I mean, in Giannis's fourth year in the NBA, Giannis was averaging 23-9-5.5 with a steal and a half and two blocks per game. Like, we've also seen some of the young guys in their development. Denny Avdija obviously had a much better year. He's at 17-3-4, right? And he is in his fifth year in the NBA. Shaedon Sharpe, 18.5.
19-5-3.
Yeah, 5-3, right?
Not bad.
Anfernee Simons
had a down year.
Has not averaged 23 points a game in his career.
No, his career has, what, 22?
22.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and that's 7 years. Mm-hmm. So you look at it and you say, yeah, those guys, they did develop into stars, and they didn't see that coming. But they also flashed it really damn early in their career.
And again, this is not a, well, the Blazers might. What they're looking at is Denny Avdija and Tumani Kamara, who were both late bloomers. And look, it's no secret. I thought the Denny move was a good move.
You sure did?
I'd be lying through my teeth if I thought I said he was going to be this good. No. I said 18-8-5.
Especially at the end of the year.
18-8-5 is what I saw from him. Going back to January 1st, which is now like 43 or 44 games, he's like 21-9-5. That's an all-star. Like, and if you're talking yourself into that, fine. I pull it back a little bit just because of context. But if you told me Denny averaged 28-4, it wouldn't surprise me now. And that's real growth. But is that the star? I don't think so. I think he's probably a number three now. Maybe if there is another gear, because there's a lot of opportunity for him to get better.
Yeah.
In a lot of different things. But they went a step too far for me in the believing in their own guys. And the caution that I have is that it is a path that the Blazers walk down with CJ McCollum.
Yes. And that's what it feels like. Those are the red flags that are kind of popping up where you're like,
you're not going to trade this dude because you're worried he's going to blossom somewhere else, or you drafted him and you developed him. And this is not a Blazers-centric thing. This happens around the league. When you draft your guy, the last thing you want is your guy to get traded away and go be good somewhere else. The thing that, and I asked off the record around the organization, and I asked it during the press conference, how do you guard against getting too high on your own supply? Because that is the bigger issue for me. That's 2016 all over again. That's the 2017 draft. That's 2019. Yeah. That's a bigger issue to me than what they mentioned here. Although, when Chauncey started talking, my ears perked up. Because I was like, there's a chance you might have that. And look, in reality, there is a chance. To me, it's a small chance that one of those guys develops into that. I think Shaden has got another gear to him. I think he's a 20-point-a-game scorer. I think Denny is that. I think two is a 50-50 shot at making an all-defensive team. Mm-hmm. That's a pretty good place to start. But the whole idea of them not being willing to go after somebody else because they think they might have that in-house does concern me a little bit.
And Joe Cronin talked about big swings.
This year I felt like we got a ton of data. What's working, what isn't. What skill sets do we need to add? What types of personalities do we need to add? We learned a lot about our roster this year. Do we have all the answers yet? No. Are we still learning? Yes. I mean, still the second youngest team in the league, still have a lot to learn about and see from our young players and how these veterans fit in with them. So the approach, though, I think we can definitely be more diligent about the specific type of player that we're adding. And I love that we're at that stage where, as a front office, we don't feel that pressure to keep taking swing after swing to try and hit on the next up-and-coming guy. I think we're starting to feel really comfortable with our talent base that we can be more diligent about adding specific types of guys.
That is the like that is a good sign that they trust the guys that they have, but it's also the concerning one of like that you said when you got hired, like you're not going to be afraid to take the big swing. It seems like what you kind of framed right there with the you draft these guys, you get an attachment to them, or you bring in a guy and you develop him and you get that attachment to him and you're not willing to let him go to make a bigger swing. And like, look, reality is this team, it played above the expectations in that back half of the year.
I mean, it's a 15-win improvement. I mean,
with a lot of guys that were still shut down. Mm-hmm. DeAndre Ayton, Jeremy Grant, Anthony Simons. We Rob did not Williams. See those guys at the back half of the year. Rob Williams, well, is that by his choice or not?
Yeah.
You know, by the organization's choice. But with those guys still in the mix, what does this team look like? Because in the front half of the season, they were there, and it still looked clunky, mm-hmm. right? And it's not like, you know, to use a Neil O'Shea-ism, the panacea isn't going to be, hey, they're going to be back and we're going to be that much better. DeAndre Ayton played really well in that 12-game, the 10 of winning 10 of 12, right? Mm-hmm. Played really damn well. But you have a 7-footer, got injured, going to be coming back off of a significant injury. What happens with Jeremy Grant? What happens with Anthony Simons? What happens with DeAndre Ayton?
I'll say Jeremy flagged a few things in his press conference. Say that. A lot of mentions of agents.
See?
And discussions with the front office.
And you have a player of that caliber, okay, where Jeremy Grant still does have value, but what are you going to get in return for him?
And that's what's going to be interesting is, and we've talked about this so much, in now less than a month, May 12th, the draft lottery is going to make a lot of decisions. Here's what's interesting for me to what Joe said. The idea of not being forced to take the big swing. And look, I think they have in the draft taken the biggest swings. I think Scoot was a big swing. Shaden was undoubtedly a big swing, a total unknown. Didn't play basketball for basically a year and a half. Mm-hmm. Didn't play in college. The last time he played was, you know, in high school. And now he's starting to deliver on some of the high-end talent stuff. I think Donovan Klingon is a swing.
Like, I do, too, just because of where you drafted Klingon. Remember, two picks later, Zach Edey went to Memphis, and everybody's like, ooh, you know.
The Grizzlies got Edey, da-da-da-da. Yeah. You know, like, they didn't go this way. I think when the Blazers look at their roster, they look at two, they look at Denny, and they look at Donovan, and they're trying to see. They're not taking – they're not just swinging for the fences. I think they look at those three guys as kind of the tent poles right now, and – what are the things that you need to enhance those things?
Yeah.
Now, I think shooting is number one up and down the roster. That's the thing that they need the most, and they said as much. So does that mean, does that impact who they draft now? Like, let's say something crazy happens and they move into the top four. Let's just say they get fourth. Do they, because right now it sounds like Vijay Edgecombe is going to go third, which would put Ace Bailey on the board. Do they take Ace Bailey? Is that the guy that they think is the guy that makes sense? Or do they now potentially look to trade that pick and go a different path and prioritize more creation?
I will say, if there's anything from Cronin that he said in this press conference that he had gone the other direction on, this will tamper down the expectations of the move that they make. And because remember, they had overhyped what they were going to do. They had overhyped Scoot Henderson and his impact when they drafted him third overall. And it was to a detriment to the organization and to Scoot Henderson specifically.
Don't overpromise and underdeliver.
And Joe Cronin for, I'm going to make these big swings. He has toned that down a little bit. But that also gets the fan base all in ramped up when you say we're going to be making these big moves, right?
Yeah, and I do believe that they are still motivated to make the big move if they can find the big move.
All right, let's get to our fan text line. A lot of feedback coming in, hot and heavy. You can text us 503-864-6326. Danny and Dusty on the Fan. 503-864-6326. That is the fan text line. Got a lot of texts coming in after Chauncey Billups announced a contract extension with the Portland Trail Blazers. Multi-year deal. Joe Cronin, general manager. Multi-year deal as the general manager of the basketball club. We've got a bunch of texts. Okay. Where do we even start? Well, the Blazers are jockeying in mediocrity for the foreseeable future. It's so Blazery. That one coming in. We've got a lot of purgatory texts that have come in.
It's just so tiresome. They haven't even entered mediocrity yet. That's the thing. It's just like...
Well, I think that that is kind of one of the symbols of mediocrity is when you are not even there yet and you're like, you know what? We're just going to sit. This is what fandom is, though.
Go ask the Houston Rockets or go ask the Detroit Pistons what it actually is. They were not good 2 years ago. The Pistons weren't good a year ago. It's, oh my God, whoa. Well, now you're talking about a team in the West that... And a two seed in the Rockets, they're a freaking two seed,
yeah.
And they still have holes. And people are picking whoever comes out of the play in, basically, like, oh, they're probably going to beat the Rockets because they're untested, and they might. But you look at the Pistons right now, and they're matched up against the Knicks. There are people right now who are like, I think the Pistons are going to beat the Knicks. They won 15 games last year.
Yeah,
mediocrity and purgatory is when there's no path out.
Well, and where is the path out for this team? And that's where this is purgatory. Like, it really is, because what did the Houston Rockets do, Danny? They won 17 games, 20 games, and 22 games. That's what they did.
Yeah.
They got lucky
in the lottery.
No, but they're the two seed right now because they went through hell for three seasons and they committed to it. And they got, you're right, they did get lucky in the lottery. But guess what helped their luck? Winning 17, 20, and 22 games.
And look at how many games did the Blazers win in the last 3 years?
And right now, look at where the Portland Trail Blazers are, though. Right? Like, if this isn't...
They're a year behind what the Rockets were.
Okay.
They're on almost the exact same trajectory.
So...
They're almost the exact same trajectory.
41-41 last year for the Houston Rockets.
Yes. Five-game difference.
Okay. I don't see that because we
went
over...
I don't expect them to be the number two team in the West. I'm not saying that. But when you're talking about purgatory is when you don't have...
But the same trajectory...
The Suns are in purgatory.
The same trajectory, they had the 2-3-4-3 picks. Yeah, they did get lucky in the lottery. But that's what it takes, right?
Yes. But you can't...
And have the Blazers gotten lucky in the lottery?
Once. As opposed to four times. And that's...
So that's not the same trajectory.
No, it is, though, in the sense of the idea of, like, purgatory is when you don't have draft picks, you don't have a way out, and your only way out
okay,
is
so
to
you're just
be
changing
God-awful.
The definition of your purgatory, but I'm
no,
telling
purgatory
you...
purgatory means there's no...
That is where the Blazers
stuck.
Fans
they're,
feel.
They're not stuck, though.
But that's what Blazers fans feel like.
I don't care what they feel like.
But you should, because that's what everybody says.
Hold on, you're not... You have an unwillingness... to hear what other people are saying.
I have unwillingness because it's not based in any reality.
But it is.
Your reality.
No, it's not. It's not reality. Reality is not having assets, not having young players, not having a young roster. If your roster is old, your draft picks are squandered, and you've got nothing else to go for. They have positive... This isn't me carrying the Blazers' water. This is looking around the NBA. If you look around the NBA, teams that are in purgatory don't have any assets. They don't have any draft picks. Their salary cap is hell. It's strapped out for 5 years. The Blazers don't have any of those. They have $50 million coming off the books in a year.
But this is where, and that is an issue, right? That's also, yeah, they got $50 million coming off the books in a year. But
up to 70.
But that also is a situation where Blazer fans are saying, can't you make the team better by making a move and facilitating a deal to make your roster better?
Yes, which is, they have an opportunity to do that, which is what teams in purgatory, the Phoenix Suns, can't make a move because of where they are on the cap. The Milwaukee Bucks can't make moves because of where they're at. Like, if you look up and down the NBA, the teams that are in purgatory are very, very, very clear. They don't have avenues, and their only way out is to be god-awful.
Okay, what is the Blazers out?
What is the Blazers out? How many different ways can they go about it? They have
Like what? May 12th, if they win the lottery, then that is your out, right? That's it.
Yeah, that's a get out of jail free card for anyone.
For anybody.
But that's the luck of it all. And look, there's one title winner every year. Every other team's bad. This whole idea of like the rings culture stuff, it drives me crazy. You have to continue to build.
Yeah.
The second this team stops continuing to build, then they're in purgatory.
Yes, but
that's purgatory.
But this team is like so playing.
Is that the ceiling? Is that the ceiling? Are we done? Are they done? They have no assets. They're strapped out. They're a playing team.
Well,
they're the Chicago Bulls.
Hold on. We just got done playing, and this is where like framing how Blazer fans feel. We just played the audio.
We need to
Hold on. Of the general manager saying, "I don't feel the need to take a big swing," and you know, and then the star maybe on this team. That was the head coach
and the general manager, right? Because they overpromised, and it was dumb to do.
It was dumb to do, and it happened, and they are downplaying the expectations, right? But when that is what is said and that is what is public, I understand how the Blazer fans are going to feel that way. That, all right, we feel stuck right now because in the NBA, you win with stars, and that guy isn't on the team. Now, I feel like there's a whole swath of the fan base that is unwilling to acknowledge that this team has developed and grown young players. And
they're still incredibly young.
And they are very young. They were younger than Auburn. But they still need that dude.
And I'm not disagreeing with that
right.
at all.
But
they have avenues to do that.
When your coach and your general manager are telling the fan base that move isn't going to be made or doesn't feel like that move is going to be made, that's where they feel like that. And I understand that because you sit there and you're like, all right, well, I guess it felt everything that was said yesterday, it felt like a run it back year. And that was what That's what fans started to hate about Neil Olshey.
Yes.
And they don't want to have it happen again. And I, for one,
100% agree.
Am glad that this fan base, it finally is vocal enough to be like, no, we don't want that anymore. This is not going to be good enough.
When they
get into the play-in, getting to the playoffs where we are a, you know, 6-10 seed.
Yeah. No.
We don't want that.
No, and you
shouldn't. I'm happy that the fan base is there. But
they're not. They're not there though. Like when they're in year 7 of this, like they were with Dame, that's purgatory.
Okay,
but they're not. They're in year
totally
3.
I am totally fine, and I think it is our jobs to be the ones that do explain that to everybody, and so everybody's like, all right, this is a path moving forward, right?
And that's the thing.
Yeah.
Is like the path is still as wide as a truck.
Yeah, man.
That's what I'm trying to tell people. Look, I'm not saying this is carrying the water for the Blazers. I'm looking around at organizations around the NBA and going, look, teams do studies on draft assets, draft capital, free agency, salary cap, and it's all this stuff that kind of comes out of it, and it gives you like multi-year projections. And you can talk about what the Rockets have, what the Thunder have, what the Jazz have, what the Blazers have, what the Pistons have, all of the younger teams that are starting to make the moves, and they all have the same basic tenets.
Yeah.
Now, they diverge based on your personnel.
Yeah.
But, like, what you can do, did the Lakers expect to get Luka Doncic? Did he factor into their 2-3-5-year plan? God, no. The NBA, and I'm not saying the Blazers are getting Luka, but I'm talking about the volatility of those projections. It's just on a dime. There's discussions of 3 different players in the NBA right now that you would not believe that might be on the move this summer.
Big names.
And they will shift the entire landscape of the NBA if it happens.
Yeah.
And what comes out of it, and nobody would have said this 2 weeks ago. 2 weeks ago, let alone where things are now.
Yeah.
And that's why I look at this stuff and go, okay, can they do something? Can they figure something out? If they can't, then I'll get mad at them the same way I did Neil Olshey. But they don't, to your point, have the Dame yet.
Yeah. And that's the thing, is that the fan base looks at it completely different because they still feel stuck. Like,
but
they,
it's a
they,
different team. It's a different.
Totally
era.
Agree.
Everything
totally agree.
Is different.
But that's the way that it feels, right? But that's how fans feel, because they're like, when can we get out of it? Like, perfect text. This sounds like some Mariners BS, right? Like 54%. And it doesn't help that, you know, they were touting the back half of the season where they won 55%, right?
Yeah.
But it's like, although it is totally different, the books are clean, you have assets moving forward, it feels the same in that, when is a jump going to happen? Because you haven't felt that jump since Dame was in his second
year. I saw people complaining through their noses about Denny Avdia and the overpay. How many of you are screaming about it now?
Well, okay.
But that's my point. Is it, you don't know as they continue to go and figure things out.
Yeah, well, I'm happy they're just holding the franchise accountable, finally.
Talking to people in the front office, they're not settling. This isn't where they're at.
Yeah.
They don't think that this is the team that's going to take them into the next era. They think they have a couple pieces.
Yeah. All right, 503-864-6326. We'll get to some of your feedback. We are way over right now.
Oh, God.
Danny Dusty on the Fan.